Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema to talk edge defenders 2018 NFL Draft Class.
I feel like we need a theme song, John.
I know. Like to enter
the show?
Right. I know. Something we're going to have to think about.
If anybody wants to make us a theme song, go ahead. We'll probably listen to it, realize it's trash, not use it. But if you want to make it for us, that'd be great.
Hey, we'd be down with that for sure. We're going to talk edge defenders. This is one of the most important positions, we both believe, on an NFL roster. But this year's class, does it hold a candle to last year's class? Had a lot of great players at the edge defender position. This year's class, there's some unknowns that are getting some attention hype, like if they develop, which I think is always good this time of year, but it doesn't mean they're first-round picks right now. And you know, development not being linear for everyone, it doesn't mean that they'll be where we need them to be by next draft class. So a lot goes into this class, but we've got our top fives. And do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first.
Okay.
So Porter Gustin from USC is my fifth guy. We're going from five to one. He's my fifth dude. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker, kind of a stand-up linebacker, and he's only a true junior, I believe, so still relatively young in it, but not even the youngest guy on this list. We'll get to that. But, motor is going 110% the entire damn time. And he is a guy who will throw his body into offensive linemen and oncoming lead blockers. And not only will he get engaged in the blocks that he needs to kind of open up the lanes for other linebackers or other people to possibly make tackles, but like he will just straight up like wrecking ball you. Like if he's taking you on, he's taking you on not just to be like, oh, you know, I'm taking on the block, I'm doing what I need to do. He's trying to bowl you over. Mm-hmm. Like he's trying to be like, all right, you're in my way, so I'm gonna make a highlight on you by putting you on your ass, and I'm gonna go get the ball carrier. So when I watched his tape, like the violence that he plays with is so evident. And two, his hands for one man, like they are always moving. And when he comes to edge rush, you know, doesn't have great bend. Like I wouldn't say he's a really flexible athlete, but like these offensive linemen try to get into him as he's coming in, and his hands are just working so fast and so strong. He's often just throwing these guys off, even players that are bigger than him. So I was really impressed by the way that he has so much effort in the way that he rushes the passer, and where, you know, the flexibility and the speed rush, you know, that bend is the sexy way to rush a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. It's not the only way to rush a pass rusher. And he is, I will just say that he is the most annoying pass rusher I think I watched for offensive linemen because like I said, there's not a ton of athleticism there. But every offensive lineman I watched that faced him was just like, okay, all right, we get it. Your hands, we get it. And so that's definitely a specialization within pass rushing. If you could be annoying, if you can get by offensive linemen like that, and if you could take on blocks the way that he takes on blocks, I was pretty impressed by him.
I've only seen a little bit of him, and he's down on my list. He and Marcus Davenport from UTSA are guys that are down on my list that I needed to watch, those two that I didn't get to just yet. But I saw a little bit of Porter Gustin, and to me, yeah, high energy, high effort type guy from what I've seen so far. Like you said, my biggest question was, what kind of an athlete is he? Because that'll probably go a long way toward determining what his ceiling is as a pass rusher, which is, you know, I value that a lot. Although even, you know, if you're a good run defender, that's great. You're going to have a spot in the league probably. But, you know, if you're going to be a high-end pick, a potential starter, you got to be able to rush the passer at a high level too. So I'm excited to get into more of his tape. My fifth guy was Ogbonnia Okoronkwo. And there you go. I picked another guy with a hard name. I could have left him off because it's the spot five. You know, no one would have cared if I would have bumped Sam Hubbard up over him. But I picked him because he's very undersized for playing on the edge. And 6'2", 242. But I picked him because I think he really has dynamic athleticism, and I don't think he's like a round one pick or anything like that. But to me, he makes a lot of sense as a day two type of guy that needs to develop his hands and some of the other stuff. But man, watch him against Oklahoma State. He does some really, really good things in that game. He may end up going the route of Hassan Reddick or someone like that. He's going to get a lot of comparisons to Tyus Bowser, somebody who will play off the edge, might be situationally, not sure exactly how he'll be used at the next level, but he has the ability to rush the passer with speed, athleticism, bend. He just offers a lot of positive traits as a pass rusher that I think are hard to teach. And he also uses long arm techniques. For a guy who is short armed, that's important for them to understand because it keeps blockers off his frame pretty consistently. He doesn't really get overwhelmed a whole lot, especially as a pass rusher. So not going to be a power rusher for sure, but I like his ability to work that into his attacks and keep guys off balance. So I like Okoronkwo. I think that he can get even better this season coming back, and I'm excited to see a little bit more of him. He's only started 12 games, has 13 sacks in his career and 17 tackles for loss. So I'm a fan of his game. I think there's still a ways to go for sure, but right now I'd be intrigued by him day two.
Yeah, I think intrigued is the right word there, and he's kind of just off of my list because, you know, there's definitely stuff to like about him, but I'm worried because Big 12 football is just fake. So weak. Yeah, it's just so weird because, like, half the time you're going up against offensive tackles who weigh, like, 270 pounds, you know, like, or something, like, dumb like that, and it's just, like, that's not – in the NFL, tackles in the NFL are going to watch – Okoronkwo get into their body and they're just going to like just straight up throw him out of the pocket. So I'm not sure. I need to see a little bit more functional strength from him, and maybe I don't know if he has it. So you're right. That brings that hybrid role into account. But my fourth guy, and this is going to be a shock for most people because he's number one on a lot of lists, is Harold Landry. Obviously ton of production last year. I think he had 22 tackles for loss, like 16 sacks, something crazy like that. And, you know, when I was watching his tape, to be fair, the teams know he's good and he gets a lot of double teams. And so some of his tape is just kind of boring. He's taking up these double teams because people know he had that much production. But the reason why he's four and I have three guys above him, and we'll kind of get to that in more detail when I talk to them, is that when Landry engages with blocks, I don't really see a lot. Like, I don't really see him shedding these blocks as easily as I think that he should. If we're talking about this super talented edge player, you know, if you're going up against a variety of different kinds of college offensive linemen and you're not kind of ripping off of them with more consistency, I get a little worried because in the NFL, you're certainly not going to do that. And so a guy with a ton of production, sure, and you do like production, but when I watched his tape, I kind of thought, you know, he was not to me the prospect that his numbers screamed. And that's all I'm saying is that I do think that he is a good edge player. And I'm thankful that we have another year to see if those stats were shallow or whether they were a true telling of his talent. But as of right now, these guys that I'm going to have above him, I have above for different reasons. And I think that's because once he gets engaged with offensive linemen, I don't see a lot from Harold Landry, and that's a big part of playing on the edge. So,
yeah, I have more Harold Landry thoughts down the road here, but interesting. Bradley Chubb is my fourth guy. A lot of people have Chubb in the first round. Some people have Chubb first over their first edge defender. With Chubb, I just didn't see a lot of quick twitch play. Like, he's not a very sudden guy. He's kind of methodical, hand usage. He's strong. He's very good against the run. So I like him in that regard. I just don't see high upside. I don't see an elite athlete. That's kind of where I'm at with Brad Chubb. I mean, I think he's a good football player. He has a nice bull rush. He understands long arm techniques. He keeps guys off his frame. Got a long reach, great size, a great strength. Just isn't a very twitched up or explosive guy. Not going to see him suddenly act as a counter move or win the edge with a lot of bend or anything like that. To me, just kind of a solid athlete, not a great one. I think he'll be a solid day two pick. He can start at the end. You know, he's going to get you, you know, somewhere in that 6 to 8 sack range, but I don't see him ever being like a high-end type of guy and a guy that, you know, with a lot more development could be significantly better. I just think he kind of is what he is. I think he went back to school because he, you know, he didn't like the reports that he heard from what his grade would be coming out. But I just don't know that he's going to get a whole lot better. Even if his production looks better, I'll be surprised, because he's had 9 sacks each of the last 2 years. Like, he's put it out there on tape what he can do and what he can't do. And I just don't know if he can, if his weaknesses are really able to be improved upon that much. So I like Chubb. I just don't love him. And I think that he might be a little bit overhyped and what's looking like it to me, at least at this point. And there always are a couple people that emerge, but at this point, it looks like a little bit of a low end edge class.
Number 3 for me is Cleland Farrell from Clemson. The kid is a redshirt sophomore this year, and he already showed things as a redshirt freshman last year that you're like, wow, okay, so this guy's going to play in the NFL. You know, just for his size, the athleticism he has, the functional strength he already shows, some of the quick twitch abilities, man, I think this guy can do it all. And we were talking yesterday about Clemson being a D-line factory, and I think this guy is just the next one in line, certainly of the edge players. And so I kind of love everything about his game. I think the guys above him have shown me a little bit more, and granted, they have had more tape than him, but potential-wise, if you're asking me, you know, Landry or Farrell, I'm going to take Farrell potential-wise, because I think that he shows a lot with both athleticism and strength in a body type that you would want. So, and I think he's got a great mentality, too. He's a guy who, when he would get a big tackle for loss or a big sack, you know, he'd be not like emotional, but you know, he's
chirping. He's a chirper.
So, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he is. And so that's something that I like with my defenders, not just defensive backs. Like, I know you talk about it's kind of a defense thing when you have that attitude. And I see that kind of attitude with Farrell that gives him that extra edge for me.
Arden Key is my number 3 guy. Talk about chirpers. He is very lanky, but he also is very physical. Very physical player. It doesn't really always get him somewhere, although he doesn't get bullied because he's a high-effort guy. He doesn't get bullied a ton. I still would not call him a great run defender, and he's not great at getting off blocks either, but it's not for lack of effort. I just think he was 6'6", 238 or something last time he played, you know. So there's reports that he's up near the 260s. He said that in his weight. That would be incredible.
That'd be a lot of pizza. That would be what we call a dirty bulk.
Yes, that's exactly right. I would like to have that situation where I would be 6'6 and need to gain 30 pounds, but not quite there. But Key was, and hopefully he has gained that weight, because I think that will aid his NFL projection a good bit. Explosive kid, twitched up, kind of the opposite of Bradley Chubb in a lot of ways, although they both play really hard, and I like that. But Key is like explosive, edge bending. Speed rusher type, not going to do anything as a power rusher. He has a rip move. That's about it. He doesn't access a counter move quickly. Still pretty raw in my opinion, but there are athletic tools that you cannot teach. And like I said, if he was his size and played soft, it would be a different conversation for me. But because he plays as hard and physical as he does, I feel better about him improving as a run defender, because I don't think it's so much a technique issue. Like, he gets his hands inside, arms extended. There's a lot of good things technique-wise that he shows. I just think he struggles to get off blocks cleanly, and I think if he's stronger, that's going to help him. And he has the length and the frame to add some of that strength. So I think he can be a better player this year if he is bigger, but the question is, what happens to his edge speed? Does he slow down? Because that's his best trait, that first step, the ability to corner. I think that he has good bend for a guy that's as long as he is. Is it elite? It's not like Myles Garrett level bend, though, so I don't want to go there. But those are my biggest knocks with him. And the other thing with Key, the dude misses so many tackles. And that, to me, is just annoying, because especially in the run game and even as a pass rusher finishing, you know, he turns these tight corners and then can't wrap up. There's just no physicality as a tackler, which is really strange. An unusual. When he has those long arms, that long radius, you know, you'd think that he'd be able to drag guys down pretty easily. And maybe added strength will help with that, but he whiffed way too often for me. Carl Lawson had the same problem. His redshirt sophomore year, when he came out as a redshirt junior, his redshirt sophomore year, he was in position for tons of sacks, and only came up with a couple because he just missed so many tackles. And then the next year, it wasn't an issue at all. He finished, like, all the time. I don't know if I didn't remember seeing him miss a sack. So it could be, like, that issue for Key. Where he finishes a lot better this season, it's not a concern. But right now, when I watched him, I thought that was a big-time concern.
So Bradley Chubb is my number 2 guy. And I don't know. I don't think I'm on the same page with you there with the criticism of his athleticism. You know, I don't think he's this all-world athlete, but I noticed plenty of times when coming off the snap, now he might not be a snap jumper, you know, like some of these other guys have been that we've seen in the past that have really popped out at us, but I think that when he gets going, he's actually pretty athletic out of his stance and getting into offensive linemen and what he does with his hands. You talked about that a little bit there. You know, what stood out to me is I think he was – it's the same thing with Porter Gustin, how violent he was with his hands. I saw a lot of that with Bradley Chubb too. I just think that Chubb was a more fluid athlete than Gustin was. And so when I watch him get into offensive linemen, I think he uses his hands very well to combat them. I think he can get around people. I don't think his bend is the greatest, but again, I think he is more of an athlete than you do, apparently. And so that would explain why I have him a little bit higher on my rankings than you do, because I think, you know, the traits that we both see are the effort that he gives, you know, how violent he plays, you know, mm-hmm. how what his motor is going 110%. But then it's just the rest of it is kind of the athlete thing. I think he's a little bit more twitched up than you do, apparently. And that's just the way that we're seeing his tape. So, you know, I don't really know. And you're right here. I mean, you're definitely right with he had to have gone back because he didn't like what the NFL thought of him.
Right.
And if that is the case, then you are right. I don't know how much of Chubb's game can improve. Like, you can't really get more of an athlete. That doesn't really happen very often. And so if that was his main concern, then it's going to be, you know, we'll probably see another great year of production from him. But in terms of the NFL, what they thought of him last year, I thought he was going to go. So when he didn't, that was a little bit of a surprise to me. That's probably why he's number two on my edge rushing rankings here. But that's kind of what I think of him this year. I apparently think more of his athleticism than both you and the NFL Draft Advisory Board. So perhaps I'm wrong in that case, but I gotta call what I see. So he's number two for me going into this.
I can't figure out where you're at. You see, I would have thought that you would have liked the like sexy, flashy, you know, speed rushing type of edge guys. I don't know why. I would have thought. I mean, like more like Landry's type. And I know who you have number one, and I would have thought that. So, but then you like Chubb and. You like Porter Gustin. I don't know if I would have. If you would have asked me to rank your edge guys without knowing who you picked, I probably would have had Chubb. I wouldn't have had Gustin on it for you, and I probably would have had Chubb like down near like no closer to five, like where I had him more like. So that's surprising to me.
I just got to keep you guessing, man. We do the show every weekday, so I got to keep you on your toes. You know,
that's right.
Can't keep it boring.
Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It has been incredibly helpful in terms of finding tickets and just saving me the time and the money searching and kind of categorizing everything together for me. I am an organizationally minded person, and SeatGeek just kind of is a perfect fit for my type of personality when I'm searching these things. So, and on top of everything else, to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Make sure you guys check that out. Cleveland Farrell, that's my number two guy. He was not great all of last year, but down the stretch, you could see, I mean, he's only a redshirt freshman, you could see down the stretch that he was adjusting to the speed of the game, very impactful as a pass rusher, consistently disruptive as a run defender, is able to get pressure both as a bull rusher and cornering the edge. So I think we're going to see a monster season from him this year. He had six sacks last year, so it wasn't like he blew anyone away, but six sacks, a bunch of hits and hurries and was dynamic all around. I thought, like I said, down the stretch, just a very disruptive player, a guy that struck me can fit, can create negative plays, has the athleticism and the burst to develop into a really good pass rusher, the physicality, and yeah, definitely a chirper, like you said. I think Farrell, and I don't know how his development will go this season, but I think he has an outside shot to be the first edge defender off the board by the time next year's draft comes around.
Yeah,
just based on upside and size and length and athleticism and all that.
Yep. No, I wouldn't disagree with you. My number one dude, Arden Key. So the things that you talked about, certainly there. There's a lot to like, and there are still things that he needs to work on in his game. I worry sometimes about these players in college football that peak very early, right? So, like, Arden Key was a noted pass rusher his true freshman year. Like, he was kind of crowned as, like, hey, wow, the 2018 class, this guy's going to be the top of it. And when you get talked about like that as a freshman, it was the same thing with Leonard Fournette. I have this worry going into the season, like, what is going to happen in your sophomore year? And there are plenty of guys that, you know, Fournette wasn't just the only one. That was the example that I had in my head because I remember Bruce Feldman said that he was, like, a dark horse winner to win the Heisman at, you know, age 18 as a freshman. And so, like, ever since then, I was kind of like, okay, well, I don't know how he's going to bounce back from that year. And I think with Arden Key, I wish we would have seen a little bit more improvement, I guess, more consistency in his sophomore year. Like you said, those issues that you talked about, him missing tackles here and there, you know, getting a little bit more functionally strong, knowing what to do when he takes on blocks here and there, those steps I felt could have been taken more so in his sophomore year, and I didn't exactly see a lot of those. And so going into his junior year now, it's kind of the same thing. He's got those same little things that he needs to work on, but in terms of traits, I mean, this guy is, to me, this guy is who you want out of this edge class. He is so great at bending around the corner. He's so explosive off the snap. He, like you said, he gives a ton of effort all the time. So the rest of the stuff, to me, coachable. Like, you can get that. You can add weight to this guy. You can teach him how to tackle better. And yes, it is up to him to ultimately do that and do that the right way to reach his potential. But in a preseason scouting series, if you're asking me to rank the top five guys who could possibly be in this order come draft time, Arden Key is my number one, because if you put all of these coachable and attainable things at his disposal, I think that he has the rest naturally. So that's why he's my number one guy.
Yep, well said. Harold Landry's my top guy, but at the same time, I observe that what you said about him is pretty true, and it's not like I'm in love with Landry or anything like that. I think that, you know, when I assessed him for NDT at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the summer, I should say, I'd seen a good bit of him, and I gave him an early second round type of grade. You know, late first, you could talk me into, you know, early second round grades for me in a vacuum probably end up going in the 20 to 32 range first round, at least the 20 to 32 range first round. As I'm compiling my top 100 now, I realize I have very few guys with first round grades currently. But that doesn't mean that they won't grow. Obviously, guys are going to grow and evolve and become first-rounders by next season. So that will change. But I don't have a lot of those grades currently. So Landry may end up being in my top 10 overall players. But at the same time, I think that you are right about some of the weaknesses that he shows and how he needs to get better this season. So here's what I love about Landry. He has the burst off the ball, the bend and flexibility in his ankles and hips that cannot be taught. He can turn tight corners. He will lean on you and corner, and he will finish as a pass rusher in that way. Eats up space, great stride length up the arc. I just love everything he does up the arc. I think he can do really well. The problem is, it's literally the only thing he does as a pass rusher. There's no power moves. Hand usage is plain, and these are straight from my notes here. Does not string moves together, moves well, and will often fail to attack with an intricate plan. Often stalls out at the top of the arc in his pass rush, failing to employ a counter move. So tackles could just overset on him because they knew he was trying to corner. Hand usage must be more violent and detailed to create softer corners. Flips his shoulders to the pocket too soon and exposes surface area for opposing tackles to land their strikes. Inconsistent out of his stance and will too often be the last guy off the ball. Slow developing push pull is his only strategy when clamped up, and it won't work against bigger tackles with better posture. Generates zero push as a bull rusher. So he is just not a power rusher. He has got to develop. I don't care if he's not a power rusher. I'm fine with that. He's got to develop a way to get off of blocks or a way to keep himself clean, at least inside out. So developing a counter move, you know, and using speed counters as a go-to attack for him against guys that are oversetting and trying to chase him up the arc, he's got to be able to win back inside more consistently as a pass rusher. So that's the bad news. It's not even bad news. He just needs to develop a little bit more. The good news is he has all the traits that you want, I think, to become a very good pass rusher. Right now, it is very finesse, his game. I don't think he gets pushed around as a run defender at all. He holds his gap generally, but he doesn't get off blocks great either. So I love his burst. I love his explosiveness. I love his bend and flexibility. All the traits that you want to see are there, but there's a lot that needs to develop still with Harold Landry. He can't get caught upfield as much and pushed out, widened out of his gap as much. And same thing as a pass rusher. You can't get caught behind the quarterback as much as he does and stall out at the top of that rush. Got to have another go-to move. But without having those things, the dude had 18 sacks last year, at least 18 according to the way that I recall. I think his official was like 16 or 17 or something like that. But the half sacks, count them as full sacks and things of that nature. That's a dominant season from a guy with only one move. So I could deal with that, I think, and I could deal with where his season is going when he won 1v1 as often as he did with just one move. I think he has the ability to be a really, really good player, but this year's going to be huge for him because I need to see those changes. He went back for a senior year. I don't know what kind of grade he got or what his thought process was, because I think he does have the traits NFL teams really value, but those are the things he needs to work on if he wants to be a first-round pick, I think. But this stuff where people are like, did you see the one comment like at the beginning of the summer? They were like, Harold Landry can be way better. Some, you know, anonymous NFL draft scout struck again. He was like, Harold Landry can be way better than Myles Garrett with a strong year this year. I was like,
what?
I was like, get out of here, man.
So Harold Landry at no point in his life has been as good as Myles Garrett.
When I thought Landry was coming out in this past class, I had him as like edge 5 or 6, I think. And this was before the combine, obviously, when he was, you know, it looked like he was going to come out. I had him as like edge 5 or 6, somewhere in there, I think, if I remember correctly. And I had him in that late first to early second round. And then when I rewatched again at the beginning of the summer, I came up with the same thing. You know, that in a vacuum, that's where he'd go. Obviously, importance of his position. If nobody else emerges in the class, he's going to go way higher than that. Even on my board, because no one else, you know, like I said, he's number one on my rankings. He's probably going to be higher than that range would, than I would put him in a vacuum, his grade, just because there's nobody else at this point. But how these guys develop is going to be everything. How Key and Landry and Farrell develop, I mean, those are your top three edge guys, I think, if they develop and all, you know, kind of get close to their ceilings after this season, because I think they have the highest ceilings. But a lot to still, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, how much do you want to bet on development? Because some guys, and it, like you said, they peak early and they never really have that extra, you know, step after that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with those guys. Going to be an interesting edge class to watch after last year's class just kind of blew us away, I think, a little bit. But I think that there's a lot of fun names and guys that I didn't get to that I definitely think are worth. I did get to Sam Hubbard and Dorrance Armstrong. I think they're both intriguing players. I think Hubbard's kind of maxed out. I had him in like as one of my like sixth guy, you know, maybe my sixth guy.
I didn't love Armstrong.
Like, yeah, he has traits. Like, he's an oven. He has traits, but he's like light.
Yeah, and I think he's good or like okay, but people were talking about him like he was right. Like, I think you brought up that people were saying like, yo, you got to watch this guy,
right.
And he's like, I mean, like he's decent.
Yeah, there's like two or three snaps a game where you're like, whoa, and then everything else is just kind of like, and he doesn't always rush with as much speed as he has. Like, if you watch him chase people down, you're like,
he's kind of like, he's way slower off the snap on a play-by-play basis than I thought he would be.
Right. I was kind of like somewhere, you know, I want to see more of him because I didn't get to see that many games, but he's somebody that I still got to check out a little bit more, but I wasn't crazy about him. And then guys that I wasn't crazy about is all that other people are. I don't really care for Tyquan Lewis from Ohio State. He's a day three guy to me. Lorenzo Carter from Georgia was a high-end prospect. He's working with Chuck Smith. I think that he has traits, but right now he's totally, like, talk about raw as raw can be. I mean, super raw. So hopefully that develops and he has a great year because I think he has traits. He could fly up boards. Davin Bellamy from Georgia, didn't see it. Peter Kalambi from Stanford. Day three guy to me. Deshaun Hand, day three guy to me. And he's like 282 pounds. He might have to be a three technique. I just don't see
always,
him as an edge.
I always thought he was a three technique.
Yeah.
So
he is. We should probably just move because, to be honest, I mean, he's too heavy to play outside. He has no bend. He has no burst. You know, he's just kind of for an edge guy anyway. But I think he could be good inside.
He should have gone to Florida.
Chad Thomas from Miami is the guy that I think right now probably day three guy, but he has some potential.
And Mark, I say that because he was debating between Florida and Alabama, and then he picked.
I think I did remember that, yeah, from when I did his assessment.
And he was gonna go to the journalism school too. So like me and Deshaun Hamm were gonna be best buds.
Oh wow! So you guys, yeah, I didn't know that he was a journalism guy.
Well, I just know that when he
was thinking about it.
Yeah, like when he was touring, like one of the things that he loved about Florida was the possibility to go into the journalism school because it's pretty cool there.
Right. Marquise Haynes was another guy that I didn't see it with. I know he's that undersized guy. He's had a lot of production, but man, I didn't see it with him at all. I gave him a mid to late day three type of eval. So the guys that still need to be watched is a couple kids from Auburn. The Holland kid, I don't know if he's draft eligible or not, and then Byron Cowart. CC Jefferson from over at Florida, who's kind of like a tweener type big end, or Austin Bryant from Clemson. Josh Sweat from Florida State. I saw a little bit of him. I wasn't crazy about what I saw, but I need
he's
to
been hurt
more.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah. This year will be huge for him. And then, like I said, Porter Gustin and Marcus Davenport from UTSA. John Owning's guy, Marcus Davenport. He likes him a lot. He keeps telling me. He just tweeted at me the other day. He was like, did you watch Davenport yet? I was like, no, I haven't gotten around to it. He was like, come on, dude. Like, so that's his guy, and he knows edge
guys.
So
an edge guy, so
he could be moving into my top five here. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But we'll be back tomorrow, Fan Friday. We'll wrap up the week. We haven't done Fan Friday in a couple weeks, so we thought we'd get to your guys' questions. I know people have been chomping at the bit, which
we
appreciate.
Are we doing the NBA player thing tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't let us forget to do that NBA thing tomorrow.
I'm totally going
to
forget.
What NBA players we would draft for an NFL team?
I have a list, and it's going to be four. It's going to be four, and you got to pick one of the four.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
What it's going
to
be.
So I have to pick.
Yeah, and then like all the listeners have to pick after the show, obviously. And it's going to be like there are going to be four players who you could play at like certain positions, and then you got to pick which one you would take. Or I'll probably have you rank them because we're on the show the whole time, so you can rank them 1 to 4 and like talk about the possibilities with it. But then like for the listeners, we'll just have them like if you could pick one, who would you pick?
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Sounds golden. And we'll be back tomorrow with that and more on Fan Friday. Make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.